to turn this on.
Okay. So we said it was a weather balloon. No, we didn't say it was a weather balloon. We said it was a civilian aircraft. And we kind of went on and on and on about it, you know. And then the Russian government trotted out the pilot who happened to have crashed and survived. And the equipment that they found on the spy plane that we were spying on them with over their territory. And we had to take it back because, you know, that was an embarrassment to us. Okay. I don't think I mentioned to you the incident where Johnson was running for president against Barry Goldwater. Okay. Wow. Right. So back in the early 60s, Johnson runs a campaign as he's the candidate of peace. Okay. And he had this ad, the Daisy ad. So this little girl picking a daisy, and then this ominous voice counts backwards, and then boom, nuclear explosion, okay? And the point is, if you vote for Goldwater, this is what's going to happen. We're going to escalate the war. We're going to have nuclear winter, okay? Then after Johnson wins, he escalates the war. So Operation Rolling Thunder, he escalates the Vietnam War. So he was planning to do this all along, but that wasn't the way he did his campaign. And the idea being, it's better for people if I win than if Goldwater wins. So I'm going to just twitch the truth a little bit because this is important. Okay, it's important that I win, and so it's okay for me to deceive the people that I'm governing so that the right thing can happen. And are we seeing that sort of thing today? Anybody? What do you see?
Well, climate change.
Climate change? Okay. So, you know, climate change is kind of a tough one because, you know, yes, there's been demonstrable change in the climate. Okay. Yeah, well, we've been measuring it, right? So we haven't been measuring it for more than like 100 years, so hard to say. Also, you know, the rate of climate change has slowed down since 2015. So maybe the predictions aren't quite as accurate as people said. But why do you think people are interested? I suspect that people think that we are going to ruin our world with climate change, right? I mean, I'm not a climate change activist, but I think people are legitimately fearful that something terrible is going to happen and that something needs to be done. And so they're happy to exaggerate what they're saying in order to gin up the response that they're looking for, because in the end, it's for the greater good. So I think climate change is an example. Presidential elections, all about, misinformation that's being fed to you and Russian collusion and Hunter Biden's laptop and what else can I, yeah.
So Walt said he would never sign off on partial birth abortion.
I would never sign off on partial birth abortion. Minnesota, abortion haven. You can get abortion virtually anybody, anytime. For any reason. Okay. They kind of shade the truth. And do you remember we kind of talked about the issue last time? I suggested to you that deception was particularly problematic for leaders. Okay. Remember that the role of a leader is to know, lead, feed, and protect. Okay. And by being misleading as a leader to those you lead, you destroy the trust that is essential for that to function without force. Okay? So it is incredibly important. I said particularly men. Okay? You can be the head of a family. You can be a shepherd leader of a family. It is not okay to deceive the people you are leading. Okay? You need to be honest and open, so that you can reflect the image of the Savior who purchased your life, and so you can follow in his steps. So that was kind of where we left off. So assuming for the moment that, in general, deception is bad and should be avoided. The question becomes, are there sometimes situations where deception is kind of the lesser of two evils? Or in other words, that I have to deceive in order to prevent something worse from happening, okay? So that's the thought that we're going to wrestle with today, and I hope that this is a good thing for us to discuss. And let me grab my hand out here so that I don't skip something really cool to know. Okay, so this whole idea of a tragic moral choice, and I think that, kind of the classic thing is, okay, a murderer comes to your house, he's looking for your friend who's hiding in the house, and you say, he went that way, okay, to get the murderer not to go into the house and kill your friend. You're trying to save your friend's life by lying to a murderer, okay? So that's kind of the basic paradigm where people argue this sort of thing, okay? And what did we say was wrong with that, or is that okay? What do you think? Do you think there's sometimes that lying is a good idea?
Lying is not a good idea.
Okay. Do you think in that situation it would be a good idea?
It's still not a good idea.
Still not a good idea.
I was thinking of a story in the Hiding Place. You know, Corey Ten Boom.
I'm going to read it to you,
oh,
actually.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this is Corey Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Okay, we dropped the door shut, yanked the rug over it, and pulled the table back in place. With trembling hands, Betsy, Cocky, and I threw a long tablecloth over it and started laying five places for tea. There was a crash in the hall at the front door, burst open, and a smaller crash close by as Cocky dropped a teacup. Two uniformed Germans ran into the kitchen, rifles leveled. Stay where you are. Don't move. We heard, I didn't do a very good German accent, it sounded Russian. Okay, we heard boots storming up the stairs. The soldiers glanced around disgustedly. The room was filled with women and one old man. There are your men, the shorter soldier asked Cocky in clumsy, thick accented Dutch. These are my aunts, she said, and this is my grandfather. My father is at his school, and my mother is shopping, and I didn't ask about the whole tribe, the man exploded in German, then in Dutch. Where are your brothers? Cocky stared at him a second, then dropped her eyes. My heart stood still. I knew how Nolly had trained her children, but surely, surely now of all times, a lie was permissible. Do you have brothers? The officer asked again. Yes, Cocky said softly. We have three. How old are they? 21, 19, and 18. Upstairs, we heard the sounds of doors opening and shutting, the scrape of furniture dragging from the walls. Where are they now? The soldier persisted. Cocky leaned down and began gathering up the broken bits of cup. The man jerked her upright. Where are your brothers? The oldest one is at theological college. He doesn't get home most nights because... What about the other two? Why, they're under the table. Motioning us all away from it with his gun, the soldier seized the corner of the cloth. At a nod from him, the taller man crouched with his rifle cocked. Then he flung back the cloth. At last, the pent-up tension exploded. Cocky burst into spasm of high hysterical laughter. The soldier whirled around him. Was this girl laughing at them? Don't take us for fools! The short one snarled. Furiously, he strode from the room, and minutes later, the entire squad trooped out. Not, unfortunately, before the silent soldier had spied and pocketed our precious packet of tea. So, did Cocky lie? She told the truth. They were under the table. They were just further under the table than she expressed, okay? That's deception, but it was not lying. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. That's the distinction I'm making. Deception, lying, okay? She didn't lie. And I think that sometimes there's a tendency to underestimate the number of options that you have. When we tend to collapse this down, the murderer, is the murderer, and the murderer asking you, your brother in the house. You don't have to answer that question, okay? Now, that may put you in danger, okay? Unfortunately, doing the right thing sometimes isn't easy or convenient, okay? In fact, I doubt that the Lord thought it was easy or convenient what he did for us either. I think this is an incredible example of telling the truth, a dedication to the truth, and yet still not giving away information that's harmful. You go, well, how did you come up with that? Can somebody read for me, if you grab your Bible, somebody open it to Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 to 20. Can somebody read that for me? What's that? Your phone. Well, there's a bunch of Bibles back there. Bunch of Bibles right there. Yep. You could get one. We're going to be doing some Bible today.
10:18-20.
Yeah. Matthew 10:18-20.
Then you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking to you. The Spirit of the Father.
So, I don't think Cocky was sharp enough to come up with that answer on her own, okay? If you're committed to the truth and you're committed to the Lord, you need to pray for him for wisdom of how to speak in situations like this, okay? And you know, yes, this is Jesus speaking to the apostles as he's sending them out, okay? But I think that it is likely that the Lord will give you more, you know. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it for it, and the Father will give it generously, as James told. That was Jesus' brother, okay? And, you know, he probably learned a lot about telling the truth from his brother, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, if I was a young mom and had children and someone came by, you know, coming in the home and I hid the children and they asked me, maybe they knew of the children and asked me, where are the children? And I honestly would say I would lie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my, you know, unless God, you know, unless I can think of something creative to say. But.
So two viewpoints on this. This is what we're wrestling with, okay? So I get it that this is a hard thing to wrestle with, okay? Augustine said, okay, when he was looking at this, he says, you know, it's never right to lie. But there are different gradations of lying, and you can be forgiven for some lies. But that doesn't make it right. It means you can be forgiven for your lies. It's still a sin. You can be forgiven, okay? Another philosopher, Hugo Grotius, came up with the idea that there are certain people that do not deserve the truth. Okay? That my enemy doesn't deserve the truth from me, and I have no obligation to tell him the truth. And I think those are probably the primary two notions to wrestle with. You know, are there certain people that I don't owe the truth? Or is it always wrong to tell the truth? It's just that I can be forgiven for some sins, especially if I'm trying to serve the Lord. So worth thinking about. Let me start out by telling you the story of Le Chambon. Okay? Le Chambon. The Holocaust produced numerous instances of this particular conflict, but none so telling as the conduct of the villagers at Le Chambon-sur-Lignon in the mountains of southeast France. Led by the village's Huguenot pastor and his wife, and assisted by several Darbyists, that would be Plymouth brethren, families in the surrounding countryside, the Chambonnet successfully rescued some 6,000 persons, mostly Jewish children whose parents had already been murdered by the Nazis in Central Europe from the jaws of death. As Philip Halley recounts the story, from their first attempts to help Jewish refugees, Pastor and Magda
Trochme learned that they would have to conceal their efforts from the authorities and others unsympathetic to what they were doing. To reveal that help would be to betray the refugees, to put them in harm's way. Either conceal them or harm them, those were the alternatives. But in Les Chambons, in the beginning of the 1940s, concealment meant lying. Lying both by omission and by commission. It meant not conveying to the authorities any of the legally required information about new foreigners in Les Chambons. And it meant making false identity and ration cards for the refugees so that they could survive in Vichy France.
So this is a quite elaborate deception. I have to say that producing a false identification, that is in fact lying. Okay, that is a, it's not verbal, it's tangible, but it's writing, and it's basically a verbal claim in written form. So written versus verbal versus sign language, it doesn't matter. It's a communication of a fact known to be false. That's a lie. So, you know, it's kind of hard to accuse this Huguenot pastor and his compatriots of wrongdoing when they were lying to protect the identity of these people. So, something to wrestle with. I'd like to start out with some examples. Let's talk about some examples from the scripture. Okay, and first examples of hostile government. Okay, can anybody think of a situation where somebody was facing a hostile government and they lied in the scripture? Okay, perfect. Yeah, nurse midwives. So somebody read it for me. Exodus 1:15-21. Shipra and Puah. We don't know the name of Pharaoh. But we know the names of Shipra and Puah. It is Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21.
Sounds good.
And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shibra, and the name of the other was Nuah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then he shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. And he saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt for the midwives, and he said unto them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men, children, alive? And the midwives said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered. The midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them.
Okay, so I want you guys to discuss amongst yourself for a second. What do you think about what the midwives did? And, you know, was it deception? Was it lying? Was it right? Was it wrong?
Was it true?
What does the Bible have to say about it?
Was it true that the women wrote lies and gave birth? Or do you think that part was? It doesn't say that they were lying about that.
That's part of the discussion, I think, that you need to have, right?
Yeah.
Well,
Okay. So it sounds like I've gotten a couple of thoughts. Anybody want to share your thoughts on this idea? Okay, so Scripture doesn't say that it wasn't a true statement. Is it possible that the Hebrew women delivered more easily than the Egyptian women? Possible. Okay. What was the how many of them did Shiphrah and Puah kill? None. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it possible that none of them had difficult neighbors?
No, it doesn't make sense that that would be the case because the Lord blesses them for what they did.
Okay. So, the Lord does bless them for what they did.
So why would he bless them for what they did if
all they did was tell the truth?
Yeah. Right.
All they did was tell the truth. They certainly. And what happened to Rachel? Do you remember? Jacob's wife, Rachel. How did she die?
In childbirth.
She died in childbirth, right? So apparently not all Israelite women have easy childbirths, right? Okay. So something to think about, okay? Now, who wants to read Daniel 3, verses 16 to 18? Yes, go for it.
Exodus 1:17 tells us that the midwives feared God and did not do as the king. And it strikes me that that ought to count for something, that their morality should be evaluated in what motivated.
In light of what motivated their actions.
That's a really big phrase in the Old Testament.
Well, if you're not supposed to kill and you're being asked to kill, I mean, that's why I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, yeah, they were ordered by the king or Pharaoh to kill the babies, right?
Right.
Yeah. We must obey God rather than men. But and I don't think that there's any question that not killing the babies was correct, okay? The question is it okay to lie to Pharaoh about not killing the babies? He said, hey, they just slipped out before we could do anything about it. They were already alive.
Maybe they communicated to the women, just call staff.
They could have. Yeah, that part's not in the scripture, okay? So, Daniel 3, anybody got it?
Yep.
Okay, go for it, Andy.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image.
So, you know, the idea being, okay, probably a lot of Israelites bowed before Nebuchadnezzar's idol with mental reservation that, you know, okay, they're forcing me to do this, but I am not worshiping this thing. Okay, they say, hey, we're not going to do this. Our God can protect us regardless of what you say, okay? So they were pretty dedicated to it. What happens to them? Do you guys remember? Do you remember? He threw them into the fiery furnace. In fact, the guys who pitched them into the fiery furnace get burned up hot. Okay? What happens to them? They're fine. Not only are they fine, what else? They don't smell like salt, they're close to the burn. They came out of the fire, they're very cool. What else? Yeah, there's a fourth person in the fiery furnace with them. Okay? God was with them in the fiery furnace. God was with you in the fiery furnace. So, you know, that would suggest more in line that, you know, even in the face of overwhelming. Well, you know, if they had lied to Nebuchadnezzar, they would have been protecting themselves. Okay? Shiphrah and Puah were protecting others, right? They were protecting innocent children. Maybe We don't know. Now, here's a real mind buster. Kevin, you got a Bible there for me? Okay. Why don't you look up 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. This is very interesting.
1 Samuel 16, 1 to 5. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I've rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among your sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do. You shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "You come to the city."
Okay. Well, that, I think you've gotten past the part that I needed you to say. So, the Lord has rejected Saul as king, Samuel is the one who told him that. The Lord has rejected you as king. Okay. And then the Lord tells Samuel to go to Bethlehem, because I got a new king there. I want you to go get him and anoint him to king. And he's going, "Well, if I go there, you know, Saul's going to ask me, what are you doing in Bethlehem?" You're going, and you know, the answer, the truth would be, "I'm going to anoint the next king because the Lord has rejected you." But he says, "Hey, that's not healthy for me." And the Lord tells him this very interesting thing. What does the Lord tell him to do?
Deceive.
He tells him to deceive. So this is deceit by direct order of the Most High God. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Is it a lie?
No, he's going to go there to do that.
Okay. He was also to bring a heifer, and he did sacrifice the heifer to God, right? So it's true, but misleading, right? Okay. So remember when I make those distinctions? You know, misinformation, deception, lying. There may be some circumstances when deception is okay and maybe lying isn't so great.
It's kind of interesting when you talk about that, because what you get on the media and what people say will tell you just a little, not the truth. I'm not really deceiving, but, you know, I'm just like thinking, it's not the whole truth.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, now, often, it's really hard to tell the whole truth. We talked about misinformation at the beginning, right? So one problem with information is that we're finite beings, and we don't know everything there is to know, so we may not have a complete grasp of the truth, right? The second thing is our ability to communicate this is limited as well. And you go, "Well, what are all the relevant details?" It could be that, you know, difficult to leave it out. But yeah, I think a lot of the time we leave out relevant details that we know to be relevant, because we intend to mislead. Yeah, we intend, it's an intentional thing, okay? I told you before that I think that a leader has a responsibility not to mislead, okay? So as a leader, you really need to tell the people you're leading all the relevant truth. The Lord provides all the relevant truth that we need to make the right decision, okay? And we're supposed to tell the truth, speak to one another. We're supposed to speak the truth to one another, okay? You, in the Christian community, you are supposed to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth to one another. But maybe sometimes members outside of our community, okay, don't really need to hear everything that they would be interested in if their intentions are evil. Problem with that? Any thoughts on a problem with that? There is a problem with that.
And then you're deciding, right?
Okay. Deciding what?
What is evil, what they can handle.
Okay. So are we not supposed to decide what's evil? Yeah. Judge not, so you not be judged. Matthew 7:1. Is that what we're supposed to do? Okay, what's wrong with that?
Well,
that principle I just gave you. It's out of context. Somebody reads Matthew 7, verses 1 through, I don't know, 4. Yeah, you read. You got a Bible? Yeah?
You want me to read
Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 1. I'll tell you when to stop. Start at verse 1. This is really important because you hear this all the time. So we can't miss this.
7 what?
Matthew 7, verse 1. Start reading, and I'll stop you after a couple verses.
Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with that the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is on your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs.
Stop.
The pearls before pigs.
Okay. My question again, does judge not that you not be judged, does that mean we're not to judge other people? Does that mean we're not supposed to discern? Yeah, it requires discernment to determine pigs and swine from others that you would cast pearls to, right? Okay. The Lord's warning here in this passage is, hey, shine a good light at yourself before you accuse somebody else and say, hey, am I guilty of the same thing? Because the Lord is going to judge me the way I judge other people. If I condemn somebody else for something I'm doing, I'm in big trouble because the Lord, this is gonna be brought up before the divine court. Okay, so remember that. Okay, but it doesn't mean we're not supposed to discern. Okay, if somebody's motives are evil. Okay, yes, we need to discern. We need discernment. Okay, but what's the problem with our discernment of others' motives? We suck at it! Okay, that's right. We don't know what other people's motives are. We do not know what goes on in their mind. We are finite. We are limited, okay? If you take nothing else away from this, remember this, okay? We are very quick to assign the role of enemy to others, okay? It doesn't take much, and probably over quick. To do that. And so there needs to be a bias in favor of being open and honest. It has to be pretty clear that their intentions are dishonorable, or you have to pray to the Lord for wisdom. Remember, grants wisdom to those who pray for it. Spying and undercover work. Okay? Brenda was an undercover cop for a while. Okay? She had to pretend to be something that she was not, okay? And this probably involved telling some things that weren't quite true, okay? What do you think about that? Any examples from Scripture? There's one in particular I think that's come up with. Spying and undercover work.
Of course, we have the Rahab situation.
What's that?
We have the Rahab.
Rahab. Okay, perfect. Let's read about Rahab, okay? So, can somebody open up Joshua chapter 2? Start reading from verse 1 down to 24. Joshua 2. We studied this a while ago, too, but it was a while ago.
Sorry, where?
1.
And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shilom as spies, saying, go to the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from, and when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on their way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out.
Okay, that's good enough. Okay, so classic, they went that away. Okay. Did Rahab lie? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
She's not saved, not a Christian.
So okay, she's a heathen. Okay, so maybe that's part... You know, one of the things you just keep in mind, okay, when the Bible tells you information, okay, you know, in narrative form, it doesn't necessarily... doesn't necessarily indicate whether the Lord approves or disapproves. If the Lord says, "And when David did this, it was displeasing to the Lord," it was displeasing to the Lord. Okay, but you can infer, but it's not necessarily condemning or approving, right? Now, why don't we go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. Can somebody read that for me? Okay, so that sentence implies that her inclusion in the people of God was based on what?
Her hiding them.
Her hiding the and did that, was her lying part of her hiding them? Yeah, it kind of was, right? Okay. How about this verse? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31.
Faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies.
Okay. So this episode is listed in the Hall of Faith as an example of faith. And we're still talking about the episode where she lied to the soldiers and hid the people, right? And then lastly, James chapter 2, verse 25. James is using this as an example of the right thing to do. It's not. Okay. So it's a little complicated, isn't it? What's presented to us. Yeah, go ahead.
Rahab was a Christian. Let's say.
Rahab was not a Christian.
I know.
Okay.
Suppose she were.
Is there a difference in the standard of what's right and wrong? The law, okay, the laws that we're quoting here, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, the Psalms that say God abhors a liar, Paul talks about no liar will enter the kingdom of heaven, okay, these are timeless principles, okay, the dedication to the truth, dedication to life, These things are written in the creation. They are part of what Paul called something that we are without excuse for ignoring the truth that God reveals clearly in the creation, and you know, they've been clear from the very beginning. So lying and honesty are not solely Christian virtue, okay? I think, you know, you got to wrestle with this question. I'm going to land this plane, okay, because I only have a little bit more to talk about. I strongly encourage you to look at the section, look at the scriptures under concealing your identity and dealing with enemies for examples in the scripture where these issues are handled. Some people say, hey, you know, it's okay to lie to people or your enemies. That was Hugo Brocious's contention. But I want to give you just one line of thinking here. Does anybody know offhand 1 Corinthians 10:13?
There's no temptation taking you, such as common, right?
Uh-huh. A way of escape. Okay, very important passage to remember. Okay, God says that in any temptation, he will provide you with a means of escape. Okay, so if you're tempted to sin, you do not have to sin. Okay, God will provide you with a means of escape if you're tempted to sin. I think that's what happened to Corky and Corrie Ten Boom. Okay, I think the Lord provided her with a means of escape. She was dedicated to the truth, but she was dedicated to the life of those she was protecting. And the Lord provided her with the means of escape. Second, who can read for me 1 John 2:21?
No lie is of the truth.
Okay? We're not supposed to lie. That's what it says. Okay? It's a sin to lie. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who is he talking about?
Jesus.
Okay. The exact imprint of whose nature?
God, the Father.
The Father's nature. Okay. So Jesus is the exact image of God. Okay. One more verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. You're on it!
For we do not know a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Do you think Jesus was not tempted to lie? He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Okay? Jesus never lied. It is possible to not lie. Whenever you're tempted, God will provide you with a means of escape. So, lying is a sin. God will provide you with a means of escape. Okay? And it can be done because Jesus did it. So, that, I think, that's the take-home point I have for you, okay? I think it's prudent to make a distinction between lying and other forms of deception, okay? I think you should really never lie. Okay? I think lying is a sin. Okay? You need to pray to the Lord for wisdom in order to tell the truth in situations where you feel like it would be beneficial to lie. Because he will provide you with the means of escape. And I think that you can deceive other people, not those in your under your care or in your community, because you're supposed to speak the truth to one another, okay? But there are those outside of your community that you can be a little bit more reticent to be forthcoming with the truth, because you don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay? That's what I have for you about lying. Let's just finish up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the world that you have created. Lord, we know we have made a terrible mess of it. A lot of that comes from lying, the first sin. Lord, what a mess this world is. We thank you for your precious promise that you will provide us a means of escape when we are tempted to sin, including the sin of lying. Help us to dedicate ourselves to the truth, to telling the truth, to honoring the truth. Your word is truth. You are the way and the truth and the life. We ask these things in your name.